Welcome back to the All For God, Soul Deo Gloria podcast. With me today, I have Chris Creighton. Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
We are so excited to have you on here today. Before I get started, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am now the head football coach at Eastern Michigan University and husband to Heather and father to Hallie, Kate, and Luke. I was actually born in California and lived both in the San Francisco and San Jose area until I was 12, and then moved up to Seattle. And then for college, I went out to Ohio to Kenyon College, and I have been coaching football in the Midwest ever since.
Awesome. And as you said, you are the head coach of a team. And I know, because my dad is a coach, that it's very time consuming. How do you keep your time managed?
Not as well as I should, but that's a great question. I learned a long time ago that you make a list every morning and you put the things on there first that you don't really want to do and try to get those knocked out as early in the day as you can, so that you can get to the things that you actually enjoy doing and want to do. And so I don't succeed at that as often as I should, but you know, I just think trying to keep priorities straight and having some reminders about what's most important and not letting things get away from you is probably also really, really important.
Yes, definitely. And as we've said, you are the head coach at Eastern Michigan, and you obviously are going to probably do a lot of recruiting. And what would you say is the number one thing that you look for while you're recruiting?
Great question. The number one thing that we look for is great people. So I, you know, obviously we watch film and have to make sure that guys are talented and fit, you know, into what we do as a football program. But the number one thing that we look for is great people. And obviously there's lots of different ways to define and describe that. But we first want great people in the program.
Definitely. And what would you say are some of the main characteristics that you look for, like quality? Like, what are some of those main characteristics that you look for in a person when you're trying, while you're recruiting?
Well, when you get to know guys and you know, start building that relationship, you just want to get a feel, you know, that you can trust them, and that they are, you know, going to trust you. And I think in our program, you know, you want it to be built on a relationship and not a business deal. And so, you know, not everybody's looking for that. And so we try to find people who, you know, are looking for, you know, who we are and how we do things.
Yes.
So we have three core values, and we share those just to make sure that, you know, the guys, again, are looking for, you know, what we are. And that is family. And there's lots of different ways of describing that. But we look for that, and we look for guys who really want to be great at what they do, that they're really driven to be great players and part of something bigger than themselves. And then guys who want to make a difference, both on the field and off the field.
Definitely.
That's a core piece.
Yes. And, you know, I'm sure you spend a lot of time when you're trying to recruit someone, you know, building a relationship, getting to know them, as you're saying, making sure that they're fit for your program. But how do you deal with the disappointment of, you know, sometimes you're going to be investing a lot of your time into a potential recruit, and then they end up going to a different school? How do you deal with that disappointment?
Well, you know, you really never get used to it. Coaching for 30 years now. I mean, because you put so much time into it, when you really believe that someone's a great fit for your program and that they would love it and all of those things, it is very disappointing. I think, you know, One solution is to not invest quite as much and to not care quite as much, so that the sting, doesn't hurt so much. But I don't know how to do it any other way other than to go all in on guys that you really want, and then just have to deal with the disappointment when they choose to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I guess I can understand that. Always trying to get people who you think are fit for your program. And in the past, I have also interviewed a lot of people that are very involved in the FCA, and that is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I was curious to know if you are involved with that at all, and if you are, what do you do with them?
That's a great question. Yeah, so I've been involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, really ever since I was a player in college. However, at Eastern Michigan, we have Athletes in Action, which is, sort of a like a sister organization to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so, here at Eastern Michigan, it's Athletes in Action, and I've done some speaking for the group here at Eastern Michigan, but really, my involvement is just with our team, getting them involved. There's retreats that are offered throughout the course of the year, and we've actually even taken our entire program down to the Athletes in Action headquarters, because they have a practice facility there and like ropes course and stuff. And so, 1 year we spent about 4 days there, on the campus, which was awesome.
Yeah, that sounds awesome too. And as you were just saying, you do work with FC, you did go work with FCA a lot, and you do with the Athletes in Action, I believe is what you said it was called. So you work with teens on a daily basis. What would you say is the most common thing that you have seen that teens struggle with, and why do you think that's something that they struggle with so much?
Gosh, that's another really good question, Chloe. I think one thing that I would say is that I think that teams struggle with leadership in terms of peer accountability. And what I mean by that is, teams are always or often going to have leaders. But within that leadership, I think the something that this generation struggles with more than anything else is holding each other accountable as a leader. I think people, and to answer your question, why is it so difficult? I think people want to be liked often more than they want to be, respected. And so, I think it's difficult for people to hold each other accountable. And it's hard for adults to do that. It's not just the team or the players, but that's something that I think is a hurdle that teams, when they can overcome that, can really be special.
Definitely. And I think that is something that everybody definitely struggles with, is holding yourself accountable. And what advice would you give for teens for to deal with this struggle?
Okay, yeah, so I usually sit down with our seniors when we're talking about this subject, and ask them to think about what they want more. Do they want to not risk people misinterpreting their motives and thinking that they're a coach's pet or anything like that, or do they want the team to be successful? And most of the time, guys say, "Well, I want the team to be successful." And I say, "Well, then, if you're going to hold yourself and people accountable out of that perspective and with that motive, then you shouldn't worry about, how it may or may not be received." If your intentions are pure, then I think that you have to go with it. And I think when guys actually think about it that way, it makes sense to them, and sometimes empowers them to go ahead and say, "Hey, look, I'm willing to risk, being misperceived or misinterpreted, to make this team the best it can be."
And I know this is kind of the same question, but I've dealt with this a lot personally, and sometimes it's hard to hold other people accountable for stuff when, let's say, you're doing in basketball, if you're doing like a stationary dribbling drill and you see that their posture's wrong or they're doing the drill wrong. And for me, I know a lot of this stuff a lot because my dad usually is coaching me, and I've been, he's coached me like almost my entire life. So I know a lot of his stuff, and I want to correct them, but a lot of times they just get angry and upset sometimes. What would you say would be your advice for knowing when you should try to help hold your teammates accountable in different situations?
Yeah, that's really good, Chloe. I think that you have a chance when you have a relationship with your teammates, and a relationship where they know that anything that you're telling them is not because you think that you're better or that you're trying to demean them or anything like that, but that anything that you would be sharing with them, would be, out of a pure heart. And again, just, wanting for them to be better and to be their best. Without having a relationship, I think that's difficult. People get really defensive, and that's hard. So I think before you go and start correcting people, you want to build a relationship with them where they know that you're coming at it from the right, from the right mindset.
Yeah, I understand that completely. That is very good advice. And one day when I'm done playing basketball, I think I would like to coach a lot. And it seems like it'd be such a great opportunity to influence other people for Christ. What led you to become a coach, and what advice would you give to a teen who would want to be a coach one day?
Yeah. Was the first part of the question?
What led you to become a coach?
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to be a teacher. My senior year in college, I was all set to be a part of the Teach for America program in Compton, California, and was excited about that. And I spent part of my spring break senior year with a former teammate of mine and just an awesome Christian brother. And we stayed up really late one night, and we ended up sort of breaking down, my strengths and weaknesses and my passion. And, some ungodly time early in the morning, I said, I'm going to be a college football coach. And I had not anticipated that at all. And so I came back from spring break and immediately went to my college coach and said, I want to coach college football. What do I do? And he immediately sent me up to Youngstown to meet Coach Tressel. And Coach Tressel was so kind to me and spent some time with me. And I just started my career there, not at Youngstown, but just, yeah, that's what I knew, and how I got into coaching.
Wow, that's awesome. I think it's always interesting to hear people's stories and what led them to do what they did.
Yeah.
And what would you say would be your advice for a teen if they would like to be a coach one day?
Oh, that's really good. Well, first, my first piece of advice would be to be the best teammate, and the best athlete that you can be while you're playing. And everything that happens to you while you're playing, everything that you experience will help you in coaching. And although it's true, I don't mean, your offense that you're running in basketball or your defense, although that's true that those things will help too. But winning a game on the last shot will help you as a coach. And then, you missing a shot to win a game will help you as a coach. Not starting or not playing as much as you'd like will help you as a coach. Dealing with an injury, dealing with teammates, maybe not being as committed or not finishing a season. Everything that you experience will help you in coaching because if you're in coaching for very long, you'll go through all of those things. And so I just think being the best, best player, the best teammate that you can be, and loving your sport and giving everything you have would be my advice.
And another thing that I think teens struggle with a lot is social media. So my question is, how do you approach social media? As sometimes it can be what teens judge their worth on, and it can also be extremely destructive. However, it can also be an awesome way to reach others and talk to them about Christ. So my question is, how do you approach social media?
Very carefully. That's another really good question. It is a tool that can be used for good or bad. And I think if you realize that, you're off to a pretty good start. I don't use social media much at all personally, but I do it to promote our program, to help in recruiting and just with alumni and folks that follow. So I think it can be used as a positive tool in that way. And again, keeping in touch with former players and with family and coaches all
Definitely.
across the country. I mean, there are a lot of good uses of social media, but it's also obviously very dangerous. And you mentioned, people finding their worth in it. And how many, likes or retweets or followers or friends, whatever those things are. And I mean, I think anybody at any age can succumb to, wanting to be liked and wanting to have influence and those things. So just constantly keeping yourself in check.
Definitely.
And Twitter's really the mode that I use, and I follow recruits, and so see lots of different things that 17, 18 year olds put on Twitter. But also I do follow Christian leaders and things that will build me up, and that often can read scripture and positive messaging from people who are sending out the kind of material that is going to move me in the right direction.
Definitely. And I know that for you guys listening, probably over half of the people that I've had on the podcast, I've gotten to get them on by messaging them through social media. And so it's definitely can be used as an awesome tool, especially when you're trying to get a point out to other people or you're trying to help them learn about Christ, as in the situation with the podcast. However, as Coach Dressel, or excuse me, Creighton said, it can be something that can be very destructive if you don't go about it carefully. And as we know, you are a coach and you did think about being a teacher, but what would you imagine you would be if you hadn't become a teacher or a coach?
That's a really good question. In college, I thought I wanted to be a missionary to a developing country, and so that's something that is still very interesting to me. But my junior year, the second semester of my junior year in college, I got to go to Ecuador for a semester, and I ended up actually living in the Amazon jungle with the Kofan Indians for a month. And I got maybe a taste of how real that life would have been. And it was not as glorious as I thought it might be. And so when I came back, I thought maybe I'd be looking into to teaching at that point. But so I don't know. I do know that, whatever God would have for me would be incredible and better than anything that I could imagine for myself. But gosh, it's the only thing I've ever done, Chloe. So that's a tough question.
I definitely can understand that. I mean, for me personally, when I was little, especially, I always dreamt that, like, when I'm older, that I'd be a teacher. And now that I'm, like, getting really serious into sports, more so now that I'm a little bit older, I think I'd probably end up being a coach when I'm older. It just all depends on what God's plan for us is in our lives, but I think that's awesome. And we are going to go with our final question here, and that is, what is your advice on how to live all for God?
I'm still trying to figure that out myself. God gave me a word back when I was first married, and it's a long story, but it became a mission statement for my life. And the first and top priority of three things is to be a sold out man of God. And unfortunately, I struggle with that. Daily. I've experienced what that's like, but I have not been able to sustain it, for all of every day and every day of the week and or anything like that. And I think that one of the things that God has taught me again and again, but even recently, is when he was talking about money, I believe, but he said that you can't have two masters. And I sometimes believe that there's a war going on between wanting to be sold out for God and wanting to be successful or influential as a coach. And you want both of those things to exist together. But I also know that anytime that you come off of keeping God first and being sold out to that it doesn't work. So that's a constant battle. It's a great question but something that I aspire to.
And guys, we're going to be going into our next segment, the Would You Rather Bible theme segment. I know you guys love this segment so much. A lot of people tell me that they're really happy that we added this. So we are going to hop right into this. And in case you guys are new and you're just listening, how it'll work is I will ask Would You Rather questions that are Bible themed. And coach, you're just going to answer them and just go through, just say what you're thinking and tell us why you would pick what you'd pick. Are you
Okay,
ready?
I hope so.
Would you rather have been Gideon and had 300 men to fight 135,000, or Joshua trusting that shouting and walking around the walls of Jericho would help them fall?
I'm probably not tough enough to do the first. I would probably go with Joshua on that.
Same. I feel like Joshua, if it didn't, the walls didn't fall down, at least, you wouldn't be like in a battle with so many different
That's
people. But I think that's why I'd probably pick that one, honestly. Would you rather have been baptized by John the Baptist or have been in the upper room at the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit
Oh,
came?
wow. I got to go with the upper room on that one.
Same. I think that'd be just an amazing experience to get to experience that in anybody's life. That'd be awesome. Would you rather have to have lived through the plague of locusts or frogs?
Oh gosh, I would take the locusts.
Why would you
I'm not
pick
a
that?
great reptile guy. I'm not a fan of snakes or frogs. Locusts, I think I take my fly swatter and take my chances.
I'd actually pick the frogs, I think. I hate snakes. We live in Arizona, so we've had quite a few snakes encounters, but I would pick the frogs because I remember when I was little, I used to, and we lived in Ohio, and we'd visit my grandparents, and they would have frogs in their backyard sometimes, and I would love catching them. And I know some people eat frogs. I mean, I don't think I could do that, but maybe, that you could eat. I could see more people eating frogs than
That's
locusts. So maybe the frogs would be more beneficial.
Good point.
Our last would you rather question is, would you rather have heard one of Jesus' sermons or seen one of his miracles?
Oh wow. I would go with the miracle for sure, but either of those would be unbelievable to be a part of.
Definitely. I don't know if I could pick one of those. I think they both are so awesome if you got to experience one, I think. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. This has been such an awesome episode. And you guys, if you want to listen to any of our previous episodes also, make sure you share this with your friends. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Overcast, and Spotify. Make sure you guys go check it out, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening, and remember, in all you do, do it all for God's glory.